I said, I love you.
Oh, yes, that's an invitation from a person that's so amazingly great.
He literally stormed out of the car.
And I was running and police was catching me.
Ah, that's you with a funny hat.
Well, yeah, I cried.
Bushes? No, not those bushes. No, it's a metaphor.
Hello, it's Fucking English, podcast on how to get along with those who turn us on, especially if English is not your first language. I'm Lena. I am from Russia. You could already tell that by my tough accent. I left my country and since then I have to adapt all the time. Even with people of my own culture, it was difficult to understand each other. But in a new culture, it's insane, but worth it. I had sex, flirt and relationships in English many times. And in this podcast, it will be a lot of great stories.
Hi, I'm Elena, and I can't really say where I'm from anymore. I've lived in too many countries and kissed too many people in many countries. But now I live in a small coastal town in Portugal with my fiancé. And since she has already heard all my stories, and since some of them are too wild to be true, I'll be sharing them here in this podcast.
As English is not our first language, we need assistance. So meet Mr. Brett. He's an English teacher from Minnesota, and he prepared lessons of sexy English for us.
Good morning, everybody. Nomads, travelers, wanderers, Ausländer, and others. This is Mr. Brett, and it's time for some fucking English.
Elena, my life has changed dramatically recently. But before, I had kind of settled life. I had people around me, some stable community. And I had place to live, one place for years, and I had my career and stuff. I was a political activist. It's some drama in it. But it actually helped my personal life because you share experiences with some people. For example, once I was a head of a youth campaign. It was a campaign against unifying universities when there was some cuts on places for students in universities and some universities lost their programs and funding. Yeah, and I organized the students' magazine to unite students from different universities to fight against it. And it was very intense experience. For example, one of my comrades. Yeah,
comrades.
Yeah,
nice.
We called each other like that.
Oh,
yeah,
that's good.
So once we were handing out our newspaper close to Moscow University and we was taken by police and I was running and police was catching me and then we sat on the police station. They tried to incriminate us something and they couldn't. So we out and feel so relieved and you live through it. And of course, you get some common ground.
Of course.
And you survived some stress and finally have feelings. And a few weeks later, I started dating and it was one of the most meaningful relationships in my life. And now I became an entrepreneur and I left my country. So everything have changed. I don't have circle of close people around me. And I cannot grow my relationships from what I have. Mm-hmm. I'm an entrepreneur, so I don't have common experience with somebody so we could grow our feelings on it. Well, we have entrepreneurs community, but it's still, well, every one of us has his or her own story. We don't share victories like today, tonight, this moment. We don't share these moments. So actually, now I have no idea how to have relationships anymore.
I can relate to that to some extent. But for me, it's for me personally, that's completely different. I'm tumbleweed. I have no roots, but, you know, I'm going to quote. Yeah, I have no roots, but my feet were never on the ground because I have changed a lot of countries, you know, within the last 15 years. Every time I was starting to make meaningful connections, to form circles, I had to get up and leave.
You say it abstractly, so it did happen to somebody?
Yeah, no, it did happen to me. I started at the universities. Universities are a huge dating pool, you know? So we met in OkCupid. We had a match, and then we didn't take it up, right? So we didn't go on a date or anything like that. And then I meet this person randomly in our kitchen at the university. And I'm like, that's you with a funny hat. So, and then we met at the university gym, and we went to play basketball just randomly. She went to shoot some hoops, and she was a rugby player. So I might have broken her nose.
So romantic.
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean, not, I hope not. There was no blood or anything. But I was pretty rough with playing. We played one-on-one. But that's where, you know, the romance started. And then we had a laugh about our OkCupid date that never happened. And then we actually started dating. But the bittersweet thing was that I was about to leave in like 3 months. We knew that had a deadline to it. You know, it's just to illustrate what I was saying about tumbleweed, right? So you kind of always know that you might have to leave at some point. That means you have to live through everything in the now, because you won't have another chance with this particular person you might like. So that was what happened. And also sport, of course, helps to break the barriers. And it works for me much better than any dating apps I've ever been doing.
So now it's time to start our English lesson, and it's just about how to get acquainted in a new environment.
Let's do this!
Today, we're going to work on a little bit of grammar for when you want to ask someone out on a date. But before we try it on real people, let's practice with Dan. He's fictional, so hopefully he won't mind. Okay, so imagine. It's Friday night. But Dan is still sitting in his office. He sends a pretty funny picture of a cat to a work chat, you know, just out of boredom. But this time, no one responds. I guess it's not surprising. His colleagues are closing their laptops and going home to their families. Meanwhile, some others look like they're going to a bar. But Dan has nowhere to go. He just arrived in his new hometown a few weeks ago. It's fictional, so whatever, let's just call it new land. A few weeks is long enough to settle in a bit, but not really long enough to make solid friends. And he has no one to go out with on a Friday night. But maybe he just needs to grab the bull by the horns, you know, really put himself out there and make something happen. Dan, do you hear your colleagues? They're talking about which bar they want to go to. And as luck would have it, Jessica is among them. Dan has already met Jessica a couple of times at work meetings, but would really like to get to know her better. Well, Dan, you should just ask to join them. You have a few options here. You could say, "Hey guys, I'm coming with you." It's fine to say it like this if you're absolutely certain that you'll be welcome. It's not even really asking. It's more like just saying that you're part of the group. But if you're not so sure if you are a part of the group, maybe try something like, "Hey, you guys are going to the bar, right? Can I join? Or what if I come along?" This sounds a little bit softer and makes it less awkward if you're not sure if you fit in yet. But if you're feeling shy, or you're not really sure if they'd like to invite you, or maybe if you're just afraid of being told no, you could say something like, "Oh, are you guys going to a bar? I haven't done that in ages." And then if necessary, you can go like hint, hint, you know, and make those puppy dog eyes and then look kind of sad. And hopefully they'll think to invite you.
Oh, wow. That was some story. But again, I can kind of relate because, you know, the experience that I got when I was in the US and, you know, from the Americans that I had to meet, you know, they're super friendly and super open and super inviting. You can be standing in a queue with some random person getting coffee, and then, you know, you have a nice chat, and then you're like, "Oh, you know, we should hang out sometime." And then you're like, oh my God, yes, that's an invitation from a person that's so amazingly great. Yes, please. And then you're saying something like, well, then let's exchange numbers. And then this this person, the American person, would back out and suddenly disappear because, you know, things are getting real. You know, some things I didn't understand until somebody explained it to me that, you know, if a person says, oh, we should get coffee sometime, it means pretty much nothing. So just to kind of intensify it, I was living in Finland, and when I was talking to the Finns, it's actually one of the opposite examples. We kind of touched on, you know, appointments that never happen or something like that. I think I was once invited to a Finnish, like a house of a Finnish colleague, and there was one friend that didn't show up, and the girl said, okay, we're not friends anymore. And I was like, are you joking? And she's like, no, I'm serious. And I was like, what? She was like, I'm not joking. And it's, you know, it's Finnish people. They have a wide range of emotions, you know, on their faces. I'm being sarcastic, but and I was like, no, are you serious? She's like, yes, because we agreed. And she didn't, you know, like she promised to come and she didn't. You know, that's the end of a friendship. I'm not going to believe this person anymore. And I was like, okay, I'm witnessing a drama, a Finnish drama. So yeah, it can get serious in some cultures. It's the understanding of a promise, I guess, and the value of words. And Finns, from what I understood, they have a very high, they place a very high importance on words. So we shouldn't say any words in vain, meaning like we should get coffee sometime. Yes, you really should. when is the time?
I guess our Dan from the lesson is lucky. He got to the car and got his invitation to a party.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to enjoy it?
Well, let's see.
Yes, that's the intrigue.
So, it turns out Dan's colleagues were actually quite happy to take him with them. Now they're at the bar and they've had a drink or two. And guess what? Jessica is here. And now Dan has realized that he's been chatting with her for a while, and she seems happy. Well, at least she's been laughing at his jokes, so that's something not everybody does. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to hint at something more. Dan thinks about it for a bit and decides to go with, hey, have you heard of that new restaurant? I think it's called Blush. I'm thinking of going sometime.
See? Dan is kind of hoping that she hasn't been there, and maybe she'd like to go with him.
But unfortunately, Jessica says, oh yeah, I just went there with a friend. It's a really cool place. You should definitely go. Okay, so Dan, what is your next move? Maybe she didn't get the hint? Maybe you should have been more direct? All right, let's try to get to the point without being too rude or too aggressive. So Dan asks her, so what do you like to do in your spare time? And Jessica says, well, actually, I'm studying biology, and I also grow exotic houseplants. Dan says, really? I bet your house looks like a jungle. Maybe you could show me. Jessica gets really excited and says, of course, I have lots of photos. Hey, check out this pitcher plant. It can actually eat small mammals by dissolving their flesh with acid. Dan, oh, that's interesting, but I'd love to see it in person if that's a possibility. Jessica pauses, then says, wow, you don't waste time, do you? Actually, I think my friend is waiting for me. I should probably go see how she's doing. Sorry, Dan, you tried being more direct. This time it didn't quite work out for you, but at least you're not a curious mouse falling into a pitcher plant. However, we can still learn some useful phrases out of your failure. So, to invite somebody over, you can tell them about your plans for the near future. Like, tell them about a nice place you're thinking of going to and then waiting for their reaction. Just like Dan did. It's very non-confrontational, but there's also a chance they won't get quite exactly what you mean. And also, as an English teacher, I'd like to point out that for near future plans, you can use the present continuous. You can say, for example, I'm visiting a new bar this weekend, or I'm watching a film at the cinema tomorrow, or I'm running away from my inner demons on Friday. But you could also be a bit more direct. You could tell them about your future plans and add, would you like to join? Or maybe say something like, what do you think of a glass of wine in a nice place? And if the other person has already suggested something, but you want to suggest doing something else, you can say, well, that sounds nice, but I'd rather go to a drag show. Or maybe say something like, that sounds nice, but what if instead we took an archery lesson together? Or, depending on what you're into, maybe, I'd prefer to dress up as an alien and listen to an English language podcast featuring the one and only Mr. Brett.
So I actually don't know what's better, you know, beating around the bushes or being super direct about things.
Isn't it sexist? Isn't it about the bushes?
Bushes? No, not those bushes. No, it's a metaphor. It's the actual plants. What are you? Dirty, dirty. You're... That's... Okay, no, not... Well, I mean, it depends on the... Okay, seriously. Bushes, in this particular case, mean plants, you know? Okay, short, okay. Lived plants. Okay. Yeah, so getting back to the topic, I prefer directness. I'm incredibly taken when somebody takes my hand and somebody I like, okay? There has to be a certain level of flirtation by that point. It doesn't have to be like some random person comes out of the dark and grabs my hand and pulls me somewhere. No, that's not the case. But sometimes, you know, the directness is really what takes, what gets me on. There was one story when I saw one girl who was making, you know, eye contact with me. And I was like, okay, she was making eye contact. That's nice. She's cute. And then she literally approached me and said, I like you. And I'm like, okay, that's nice. That was flattering, you know, and she was cute. And we started talking, you know, started being flirtatious and stuff like that. And then she was like, I would like to, you know, date you. What's important, it was the Russian girl in the Russian culture, in Russia, who did that. And it wasn't in a club or it was a very formal setting, you know, and she was super direct. And I was like, yeah, maybe, you know, we just, you know, we should grab some coffee. We should meet up sometime. But, you know, in general, I like directness like that.
Once I was too direct with a unicorn.
Short comment here. Probably now it's not clear why it's so important that Elena's girl was from Russian culture and why I call the guy from my story a unicorn. Thing is, we discussed a lot of things about culture differences, unicorns, rhinos, people, peaches and coconuts, and it didn't make it to the episode. So if you want to listen to these cutouts and many others, we invite you to our Patreon Fucking English. So let's go back to this story.
I called this guy's door, he opened it, and I said, I love you.
Oh,
and gave him time to process it and left. And a few hours later, he called me to say, well, that she appreciates my attention.
Oh, no.
But we should better stay friends.
No, he friend-zoned you. Oh.
I don't... Well, he was a wonderful friend. I mean, it wasn't some random guy.
No,
like,
but it's
But he
it's
was my friend for years. Well, yeah, I cried.
Oh, yeah.
3 days.
Oh.
I cried 3 days.
Oh, come hug me. Oh, come hug you. No, it's, yeah. I'm giving you a virtual hug.
Okay. Well, it actually wasn't a tragedy and we were friends. And after that, our friendship wasn't spoiled. It was exactly the same and it was kind of a moment of closeness.
No, I mean, I understand about directness in reaction. It's just that I emphasize with you because you came out of your shell to do something, right?
It could be less hurtful for me if I didn't say it directly and get direct no. I could just check his feelings, just be careful and could get no without a direct no because I didn't directly ask.
I don't know.
How normal? Russian people
do. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, to be honest, I'm not too sure about that. You know, the Germans have a word combined of yes and no. It's called jein. So ja and nein. Yeah, jein. So it's neither yes nor no. So when the person is saying jein, it's very hard because, you know, you're psychologically, I feel like it's a swing, you know, you're you know, swinging back and forth. And this is not something that I personally would like to go through. You know, these hints and half hints and jokes and, you know, beating around the bushes. You know, it's misleading. I had a guy, we're living next door, you know, he was an amazing, he would always come to our apartment, you know, we would spend a lot of time together. And he was a part of the bigger group of guys that we lived next door to who were absolutely wonderful, you know, literally the best guy friends I ever had. But the thing was, he was like always picking up on me, like school children I said, oh, you know, he pulls your hair, that means he likes you. So he did that. No, no, no. He didn't say bad things about me or something like that. But he was always kind of egging on me, like, oh, you know, Yelena this, Yelena that. And we went to Stockholm together on a ferry. I was just tired after the night. And he started, you know, doing this thing again where he was like, yeah, Yelena, Yelena, you know, like making jokes or something like that. They were not offensive. It's just like, it felt like he was always trying to get my attention. And I didn't understand why.
It's like he always sees you.
Yeah, but so I turned back to him and I literally yelled at him. I was like, stop doing that. Why are you doing this? And he stands there, stands still in the middle of Stockholm and says, because I like you. And he literally looked like a lost dog. The tricky part was he had a girlfriend. So I was like, well, you know, you like me. That's great. But you have a girlfriend. Yes. But the thing is, like, he was like, I don't know what to do with my feelings. And I'm like, I'm not the person to tell you, but you could be more direct with both of us.
So let's check if Dan and Jessica could understand each other.
Yes, do this.
Okay, so let's see what happens after that awkward scene of Dan kind of crashing and burning. Dan is standing at the bar, confused, and Jessica hurries to the table where her friend Kim is waiting for her. Kim saw the whole scene play out, and from Jessica's body language is guessing that something went wrong. She was already thinking of going to rescue her friend, but obviously Jessica handled the situation on her own. And now Kim is curious. This is how the conversation goes. Kim asks, who's that guy? And why did he seem to cling on to you? Jessica, he's a new guy at work. I wanted to be nice to him and make him feel included. But then he said he wanted to come to my house. Just like that? Well, no, he started by hinting at going to a restaurant first. I let him know I'm not interested, and then he got a little bit pushy. So what did you do? I laughed it off and just left. Okay, so this is Mr. Brett again, not Mr. Brett's voice doing a terrible job of pretending to be a young woman. I hope that's clear to everybody. Anyways, Kim loves to go on dates and often responds clearly to invitations. Sometimes the answer is yes, but often it's no. Unlike Jessica, she likes to be direct, and she has also accumulated like a whole set of tools for cases just like this. Let's borrow some of those tools. A light and polite way to say no is, well, to say no and then give some kind of explanation, like, sorry, I can't bring anyone home. My plants are aggressive around strangers. Or you could be firm and say, no, I think it would be kind of awkward, or yeah, I don't think so. Or, hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. So, of course not. Or simply, no. And if you want to make it clear to someone that they've messed up and crossed a line, then you can say something like, wow, no, you make me feel uncomfortable, so just no, or what the hell, man? Well, we've reached the end of our podcast about English and sex, and I think our heroes have learned some useful phrases, but they also didn't get laid. I know, it's not fair. That's life. Just ask a mouse about a pitcher plant. But I promise it will get better. Jessica will have many more adventures. Maybe Dan too, but obviously not with Jessica. Anyways, keep it safe and keep it consensual while you're fucking English.
I prefer to say no softly. Once I was rough and felt very uncomfortable about that. I was in Cuba with my sister and it was a huge party and bartender offered me to come to him after the party. And I was intended to say something like, oh, I think it's not gonna work. I'm sorry, but automatically I said, I don't think so.
Oh.
And I saw his face like shrinking. I don't know what was on his face. And I felt so embarrassed because I didn't mean it that harsh. But it was the hardest way to say no. And I don't want to feel this anymore.
So you're saying like, I don't think so is somewhat harsher than just say no. I mean, it's a normal phrase. I don't know. It doesn't sound as harsh to me.
Really?
Yeah.
And for me, it sounds like, how dare you to offer? Or, oh, you? Really?
Really?
I don't think so.
Write in the comment section if you think that's harsh. Because I really don't think it is. I think, you know, saying no, would you like to come with me? No. It's a bit harsher.
I'm surprised. Please don't say I don't think so to me.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
No, I'm not gonna say it to you. Okay. But I still disagree, respectfully disagree, that sometimes no is the phrase that can be taken unequivocally. As it is, because I have a story, another one, when I had a guy, he was very nice to me and I was very nice to this guy. And then again, like we were hanging out as friends or as acquaintances. And then at some point I gave him a lift to his house, you know, I gave him a lift home and he literally started kissing me. And I was like, no. And he was like, why? And I was like, because I said no. And he was like, why? I was like, because I didn't warrant it, you know, like that's completely out of hand. And he was like, what, you were giving me all those signals. I was like, I was not. I was just being friendly. Like I thought we were friends. He was so outraged by my no. He was like, how can you say no to me? I was like, well, because I should and I can, and that's what I feel. He was so frustrated. Like, he literally stormed out of the car. And he was before that, he was a completely great guy. You know, like, he was soft, he was interesting to talk to, he was great. But then, you know, having heard this no, he didn't understand it. Like, he was like, what do you mean no? How can you say no? So, you know, the meaning of no can be really different because this guy was from Afghanistan. And I don't know, you know, whether it was a part of this cultural response, you know, how can a woman say no to a man, right? But he was, you know, he was Western educated, all those things. So I don't know whether really that was the case with the culture, his culture, or whether that was the case with my culture, or whether that was the case with English that we spoke. So it's difficult. It's pretty damn.
I hate stories like that.
I know. Yeah, but you know, they still happen. And you know, but I mean, he did listen to the no, but there was like a third no in a row, you know? And he was like, why? I mean, what do you mean why? And O spells no. That's why.
It seems like sometimes it's not about how to say no. It's about the person who chooses to ignore it. And actually, sometimes I feel I'm not sensitive about it enough. For example, I have a story when I didn't understand what I'm said. Luckily, it's not that offensive. My sister and I needed a document. It was kind of complicated because it was a document about Russian things for Portuguese government. In English.
Okay.
And we were in Georgia. So we came to a Georgian translator and lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked her if she can prepare this document for us. And she said, well, it's a very unusual situation, so it will demand a lot of consideration. And I asked, well, but is it possible? And she said, well, it will take a really long time. I said, well, how long time will it take? And she said,
forever.
Well, it's a very unusual document. And there are some limitations how it's possible to do it. And I said, well, what kind of limitation and how can we overcome them? And she said, well, it's a lot of limitations and it will really take a long time. She also said, I'm not sure if a lawyer could prepare this document for you. And I asked, Well, maybe we should ask her. And this conversation rounded and rounded in the same circles and again, until my sister touched my shoulder and said, I guess she's saying no. And I turned to her like, But it lasted 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, it will be complicated. There are some obstacles. I'm not sure if it's possible.
Yeah. But again, like, this is a professional communication situation, though. I believe in sex, you know, where bodies and privacy and intimacy are concerned, there should be more direct. And this ambiguity has no place in it. I mean, I understand, and I've heard a lot of, you know, similar stories about the, you know, Southern Europe, for example, where people culturally, they are not saying no to you directly because, you know, they feel like they might hurt your feelings by saying no straight away. But do you feel like when we're talking about sex, it should be straight away? It should be very direct. And
it's difficult to be direct to me. I learn how to be more direct because I know a lot of delicious things will be lost if I don't do it. And I even have a story about that.
Oh, do tell.
As you probably know, in Russian culture, it's common to offer something to eat or tea for people who come to your place. And my mom taught us, me and my sister, that it's polite to say no because maybe people offer their food only because it's polite to offer it and they don't really want to give it to you. So you say no, then if they really want to give it to you, they offer you again, you say no, and when they offered it the third time, then you can say yes. Because if they offered it three times, then they definitely willing to give you what they offer. And we were guests at my dad's friend's house, and his friend offered us strawberry jam. It was the favorite delicious thing for my sister. Like, she was dreaming of it. And as mama taught, she said no. And politely expected to be offered next time. But thing is, my dad's friend didn't know this rule. And she was like, no, okay. That's strange, but okay. And we were staying over. And at the night when this dad's friend came to the kitchen to drink some water, she caught my sister over this jam jar like a little kitten.
Oh, that's such a cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, directness. Directness rules.
Yeah. It was Fucking English, made by Hatch Up Podcasts. In the next episodes of the podcast, we will learn how to talk before, during, and after sex. And Mr. Brett will help us choose the best words.
This is one of the 5 pilot episodes. If you like them, then Elena and I will continue making new episodes.
So please, leave your comments in the comment section of the app where you're listening to this podcast. Give us 5 stars or a heart. It will help other people to find out about us. And tell all your friends about our podcast, especially those who travel, work abroad, or struggle with relationships and sex in English.
And if you like the podcast very much, go to our Patreon, Fucking English, and donate to us. Our goal is to raise $2,500 to continue the project.